So I'm really upset, and I appreciate you tuning in. I understand that if you're following politics like I am, there's no way you've escaped the Iowa caucus debacle. And obviously, we're just going to be covering that. We're going to cover news as it comes in at this time at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 6:07. And I'll be covering the news and the lay of the land as we understand it. If something gets updated while I'm recording this, that'll get uploaded into the podcast. But obviously, the Iowa caucuses were last night, and it was an unmitigated disaster. And, I mean, it made it very clear. It was a stark reminder of what we're up against. Let me put it that way. And without further ado, let's get into it. So if you're joining us, and ideally by the time I release this, or even by the time I finish talking to you, or before I'm finished, we will have answers to what happened in Iowa last night, who actually won it. As of right now, I'm still being told that Buttigieg is winning with 62.27% reporting, 26.9% to Bernie's 25.1%. Despite all polling, including a spiked Iowa poll, the Des Moines Register spiked poll that had Pete in a distant third, despite that being, you know, hidden, it was leaked, showing that Pete was at like 18, 16%, something like that. We'll pull that up as we go. Pete Buttigieg is in 26.9% to Bernie Sanders 25.1%, but Bernie is in the lead in terms of popular vote by about 1,000. Now, is that subject to change? Potentially. Do I think that's likely? No, considering the fact that Bernie's own numbers had him and his team at a comfortable 60%. I don't know if anything short of that is going to sway his supporters, myself included. I'm going to get into what we know so far about what's happened. The Iowa Democratic Caucus counted votes with an app developed by a company called Shadow. Now, Shadow is a part of a liberal think tank conglomerate known as Acronym, A-C-R-O-N-Y-M. And it's shady to say the least, and I say that knowing that it's kind of like a pun to say shadow, but this is from an article from the Daily Beast. Hours after a debacle that marred Monday's Iowa Democratic Presidential Caucus, investors in a company hired to tabulate votes through a new mobile app worked to distance themselves from the company at the center of the chaos, scrubbing digital trails, publicly connecting them to the firm. The chaos in Iowa on Monday evening put a microscope on one of the Democratic Party's youngest and fastest rising digital stars, Tara McGowan, prompting serious questions about the about the constellation of advocacy technology and quasi-news organization she's built. It is a pattern of fake it till you make it, one top Democratic operative said of McGowan and her firm Acronym. You talk a big game and then sort of hope it becomes true. So, all eyes turned to one company in McGowan's portfolio, Shadow Incorporated, as Iowa precinct chairs reported serious flaws with the app it had developed to tabulate the vote. As complaints about the app trickled in on Monday, McGowan, who is the chief executive of Shadow Investor Acronym, took to Twitter to describe her group as just that, an investor. So, pause. In case this isn't clear, this app, this company, I'm not giving you a lot of information about them because it seems like a lot of the information is just sort of not there. They've been scrubbing it, hiding it, finding any way they can to obfuscate what's actually happening because it seems like Pete Buttigieg is trying to steal this election. And I don't want to say that because it does sound conspiratorial. But I don't know what else to say to this. It is It flies in the face of all polling, including, again, the Des Moines Register poll that had him in third. And that poll is something that a lot of people vote by. And Pete's team had it polled. They had it hidden because they said that it didn't accurately reflect them, something to that effect. I'm getting ahead of myself. I gotta wind it back. So let's go with what Bernie's team has reported as a way to at least be positive. So Bernie's team has us here with 60% self-reported Iowa caucus results from precinct captains. This was hours ago, so it shows you how effective this stupid app is. But anyway, in the first round, Bernie was at 29.8%, Buttigieg at 21.63%. Warren at 19.51, Biden at 12.04, Klobuchar at 12.27. By the second round, Bernie had risen slightly to 29.4, and Sanders had risen to 29.4, Buttigieg had risen to 24.87, Warren had risen to 20.65, Biden had risen to 12.92, though, of course, not all rises are equal. The fact that Biden is in fourth place, pretty sad, pretty pathetic. But again, more on that later. Klobuchar at 11.18. So Klobuchar was the big loser here. Now, those are Bernie's numbers, self-reported. And given that the man has really only ever pushed for honesty and has only ever tried his best to be as upfront with people as he possibly can be, and his long history of honesty, I'm just going to go ahead and believe him. Now, a lot of people would say you're going to believe the numbers that benefit him. Well, I'm definitely going to believe them a lot better than an app that crashed and was developed by a corporation like Shadow. So getting back to this tech company, and this is an article from HuffPost, a tech company affiliated with and funded by Acronym, a Democratic digital nonprofit group that has rapidly expanded in recent years, was responsible for building the Iowa caucus app that contributed to delays in reporting Monday night's results in the first vote in the party's presidential race. Multiple Democratic sources, including one of the presidential campaigns, confirmed the app's creator. State campaign finance records indicate the Iowa Democratic Party paid Shadow, a tech company that joined with Acronym last year, more than $60,000 for website development over in two installments in November and December of last year. A Democratic source with knowledge of the process said those payments were for the app that caucus site leaders were supposed to use to upload the results at their locales. Gerard Niemera, a veteran of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, is the head of Shadow. See, now that's problematic. That's massively problematic. He previously served as chief technology officer and chief operating officer of Acronym. According to his LinkedIn page, in 2019, David Plow, one of the chief architects of President Barack Obama's wins, joined the board of advisors for Acronym. Now, I hope you're starting to see a pattern here. Acronym spokesman Kyle Tharp put out a statement distancing the group from Shadow, saying that Acronym is merely an investor in the for-profit company. In January 2019, Tara McGowan, the head of Acronym, announced that her firm had acquired Nymira's ground-based company, adding that he and his team were launching Shadow, a new tech company to build smarter infrastructure for campaigns. The Iowa Democratic Party had refused to reveal details about the app, including the company behind it and what security measures were being taken to safeguard the results, arguing that it made the technology more vulnerable to hackers. The app was supposed to make reporting the results easier and quicker, but on Monday, numerous Democrats in Iowa reported major problems in attempting to download the application and upload results, with many saying they resorted to calling the results into the state party headquarters in Des Moines. As of 12:30 a.m., Tuesday, the party had not released any results from the caucuses, which were seen as a four-way battle between former President, Vice President Joe Biden, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Iowa Democratic Party Chair Troy Price said in a statement Tuesday morning that the results were delayed due to an issue with the app. What's more, he said pre-planned backup measures took longer than expected. While the app was recording data accurately, it was reporting out only partial data. I don't know what that means or why you'd make that distinction, Price said. Well, this is what Price said. That what I said, right, you can tell. Furthermore, Price said, we have determined that this was due to a coding issue in the reporting system. This issue was identified and fixed. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, my. A coding issue. You don't say. The party used paper documentation from the caucuses to verify that the data collected by the app is valid and accurate, Price said. He added that the party hoped to release the caucus results as soon as possible today. Now, keep in mind, a lot of that paper data came from the Bernie Sanders campaign, which expected something like this to happen. But anyway, the party used paper documentation from caucuses to verify the data. Oh, I read that. The Nevada Democratic Party, scheduled to hold the next Democratic caucus on February 22nd, has also paid Shadow for website development. Now, they have since said they will use a different app. People are demanding they not use an app at all, but Nevada got the message that this app, at least, is off the table. Acronym, which McGowan, a digital strategist, that was all from me, by the way, none of that was in the article. Acronym, which McGowan, a digital strategist, launched in the wake of the 2016 election, has become a growing part of the Democratic digital ecosystem. The group has raised tens of millions of dollars with a buzzy message about how Democrats have fallen behind in digital advertising. In 2018, the group funded an onslaught of ads on platforms like Facebook and Google. The group launched a super PAC, Pacronym, this year to mount a digital effort attacking President Donald Trump and the one the backing of Plouffe. Pacronym reported raising $7.7 million in 2019. Now, this app, developed by Shadow, the company's CEO is a pizza boarder whose board is packed with Hillary Clintonites, one of which we outlined from that article. Tara McGowan is a known Bernie hater, and it would be one thing if they were just into information dissemination, which is already creepy and weird, but the fact that they developed a whole app for tallying results and in an election, and it was rolled out inside of a year for one of the places that Pete Buttigieg invested almost all of his resources, Iowa, it's beyond the pale. But that's not all, because Pete Buttigieg's campaign invested in this app. And you might think, what? What are you talking about? No, I'm saying that Nevada, Iowa, and Pete Buttigieg's campaign paid for this app. It's true. According to financial disclosures, the firm Shadow that developed the Iowa Dem caucus, and through this whole time, the Iowa Dem party has been out just completely not answered any of our questions. But the firm was paid by both Nevada, Iowa, and also Mayor Pete's campaign. So what are we left to think? If you won't give us any answers, if you make us sit on our hands and tell us that if we say anything about how suspicious this looks, we are being conspiratorial, it just feels like you're not really giving us... You kind of want us to be conspiratorial. That's what I take away from it, is that you kind of are encouraging us to jump to conclusions, because these are some suspicious ties. This is not something that happens in a sane democratic society. I mean, I don't understand why that's so hard for people to grasp. If I tell you that the counting mechanism received money, or the company that made it received money from one of the campaigns, it should not be a leap of surprise for people to then go, well, that counting mechanism should not be used because that's a clear conflict of interest. If I tell you the CEO of the company that developed it is a Pete Buttigieg supporter, again, I should not have to, it shouldn't require me to talk past that. You should just go, well, that's unacceptable. The gut reaction should just be that this doesn't make any sense. There's other methods of counting, ones that don't have this kind of conflict of interest. It's absurd. I mean, the Iowa Democratic Party chair is a friend of Pete Buttigieg. Not just a friend, but like married to one of his staffers. I mean, how do you get here? How did we get here? I don't know what Bernie's reaction should be. Because here's the thing. If Bernie gets mad If he comes out and says, fuck this shit, as some people like Johnny Graz on Twitter want him to just sort of spike the ball and go home and run as an independent, it just seems like that plays right into their hands because that's what they want. But at the same time, if we don't contest this, if we don't fight back against this, then we're also playing into their hands. So I really don't know what his reaction should be. What the appropriate way to handle this should be. So more on this group, and this is reported by the Gray Zone, an Israeli lobby Money Man's Path to Mayor Pete's Wine Cave. Shadow Incorporated was launched by a major Democratic dark money nonprofit called Acronym, as you already know. Acronym and the Super PAC Pacronym, their largest donor is Seth Klarman. Who is Seth Klarman? Well, Seth Klarman is a billionaire hedge funder, and Klarman also happens to be a top donor to Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar. Now, that's interesting. Though he has attracted some attention for his role in the campaign, Klarman's prolific funding of the pro-settler Israel lobby and Islamophobic initiatives has gone almost entirely unmentioned. Seth Klarman is the founder of the Boston-based Baupost Group hedge fund and a longtime donor to corporate Republican candidates. After Donald Trump called for forgiving Puerto Rico's debt, Klarman, the owner of $911 million of the island's bonds, flipped and began funding Trump's opponents. The billionaire's crusade against Trump ultimately led him to Mayor Pete's Wine Cave. By the end of 2019, Klarman had donated $5,600 to Buttigieg and pumped money into the campaigns of Amy Klobuchar, Cory Booker, and Kamala Harris as well. All of the frequent, you know, usual suspects, as it were. The billionaire's support for centrist candidates appears to not only be about his own financial interests, but also his deep and abiding ideological commitment to Israel and its expansionist project. Expansionist is a weird way of saying apartheid, but there you go. This is, again, you know, it's written by Max Blumenthal, so it's reporting from his perspective. As I reported for Mondawis, Klarman had been a top funder for major Israel lobby outfits, including those that support the expansion of illegal settlements and Islamophobic campaigns. Klarman was the principal financier of the Israel Project, and recently disbanded Israeli government-linked propaganda organization that lobbied against the Iran nuclear deal and backed the Israel settlement enterprise. Klarman has heaped hundreds of thousands of dollars on the Middle East Media Research Institute and the American Jewish Committee. And he funded the David Project, which was established to suppress Palestinian solidarity organizing on college campuses across the U.S., and back to block the establishment of a Muslim community center in Boston. I mean, this is the kind of person that you want funding your campaign, isn't it? This is who I'd want. Somebody radical, intolerant, and racist. That's, yeah, not a problem. Through his support for the Friends of David Incorporated, Klarman directly involved himself in the Israeli settlement enterprise, assisting the U.S.-backed tax-exempt arm of the organization that oversaw a wave of Palestinian expulsions in the occupied East Jerusalem neighborhood of Salon. Other pro-Israel groups reaping the benefits of Klarman's generosity include Birthright Israel, the APAC-founded Washington Institute for Near East Policy, and the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a neoconservative think tank. This keeps getting worse, man. That helped devise Trump's maximum pressure campaign of economic warfare in Iran. Klarman's the owner of the Times of Israel, an Israel media outlet that once published a call for Palestinian genocide. I can't believe I just read that. It says the op-ed was ultimately removed following public backlash, but still. In recent weeks, Buttigieg has sought to distinguish himself from Sanders on the issue of Israel-Palestine. During a testy exchange this January with a self-proclaimed Jewish supporter of Palestinian human rights, the South Bend mayor backtracked on the previous pledge to withhold military aid from Israel if it annexed parts of the West Bank. Another recipient of Klarman's funding, Amy Klobuchar, has taken a strongly pro-Israel line, vowing to support Trump's relocation of the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Klarman's interest in Israel has apparently led him to support regime change in Syria. In 2017, the pro-Israel Billionaires Foundation donated $100,000 to the Syrian American Medical Society, a U.S.-based nonprofit that has lobbied aggressively for U.S. intervention in Syria while partnering on the ground with foreign-backed extremists that occupied large swaths of the country. Back home in the U.S., Klarman has contributed heavily to the funding of the CIA Memorial Foundation. He's listed alongside former CIA Director George Tenet as a top individual contributor to the group. Klarman's support for Buttigieg has been complemented by a surprisingly long roster of former high-ranking CIA officials, regime change architects, and global financiers. I mean, I don't know what to say to this. This is horrifying. This is horrifying. How is this individual able to do this and not, like, get blowback? But again, he's a billionaire. This is just how they operate. This is why you need wealth redistribution. It has a sickening effect on democracy when someone this heinous, this odious, is able to walk around and basically be at play kingmaker by funding groups that then go on to create apps that then happen to count election tallies, which is kind of important when you're deciding a leader. I mean, this is absurd. Like Klarman, Donald Sussman is a hedge funder who has channeled his fortune into Pacronym. He has given $1 million to the Super PAC and was also a top donor to Hillary Clinton in 2016. Sussman's Paloma Partners operates through a series of offshore shell companies and received tens of millions of dollars in the 2009 federal bailout of the banking industry. His daughter, Democratic operative Emily Tish Sussman, declared on MSNBC in September that if you still support Sanders over Warren, it's kind of showing your sexism, in a clip we all remember well. It was grotesque, and it is only another data point in this ever-sprawling web of suspicion around the fact that these two financiers helped put up this company, Shadow, which, again, one of the most unfortunate names you could pick. They happen to put up this company and then staff it with Hillary Clintonites. I mean, it's crazy. Here's some of the staff of its top people. And we've got... the Krista Davis, CTO at Shadow Incorporated, staff-backed software engineer Hillary for America. So she was the back-end tech lead for the organizing team of Hillary for America. We've got Anna Rao, or Anna Rowe, I believe is how it's pronounced, actually. Special assistant to the CTO, Hillary for America, full-time. She worked for Hillary for America as well. She's the product manager at Shadow. James Hickey, COO at Shadow Incorporated. He was the engineering manager for Hillary for America. And we've got Gerard Namira, the CEO at Shadow. He was the director of product for Hillary of America. So four Hillary Clintonites happen to be in charge of a company that gets funded from people that hate Bernie Sanders and are on record as hating him, who also happen to fund two of the candidates in the race, Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg. I mean, if that alone is not enough, I don't understand how on earth you could allow that app in particular to be used, but it gets even worse. IDP paid Shadow to develop the app. That was the Idaho, I believe. No, wait a minute. The Federal Elections Commission filings, here we go, this is the part of Forbes that matters. According to the Federal Election Commission's filings, Buttigieg paid Shadow, the same company, $42,500 for software rights and subscriptions. So, in other words, he bribed the very company, and this was back in August, $42,000, right around the same time that Nevada and Iowa chose this particular company for the app that they were going to use. Joe Biden and Kirsten Gillibrand also paid Shadow for, at the time, Joe Biden only put down $1,225. Maybe you should have put down a bit more. I guess hindsight's 2020. And then we got Kirsten Gillibrand putting down $37,000. That might be why she's not in the race anymore. She's throwing around money foolishly. But we've got here, on November 15th, the Iowa Democratic Party put down $44,666 to Shadow. And then on December 6, 2019, $18,517. And on July 23rd, $21,000 from the Pete for America Foundation. Nevada on August 27th, $58,000. I mean, come on, Pete for America, July 23rd, $21,250. This is absurd. This is absurd, the conflict of interest that is going on here. I mean, in April 2019, Tandon, Buttigieg, Pelosi, and Schumer were all having a discussion that we all remember having documented as a Stop Sanders meeting on how to stop Sanders. Then on July 29th, Buttigieg pays $40,000+ to Shadow Incorporated, the very same company that they choose to go for in Iowa. He invests all of his money in the Iowa caucus. And wouldn't you know it, Shadow then ends up becoming the app that the Iowa caucus uses. And it also happens to say he's the winner while having glitches and supposed reporting of switching votes from other candidates. It was actually Klobuchar surrogates and caucusers that were raising the alarm saying that it's changing our votes to Pete. Now, none of this is being covered by the media. A Buttigieg staffer happens to work for Acronym, the parent company of Shadow, and its funder contributes to him. I mean, this is an incestuous relationship that is just heinous. It's just heinous. I mean, I literally can go on, too. That's the part of it that's crazy. Because Tommy, one of Tommy, I'll get the name later. I know who it's referring to. I just really can't remember the name. Tommy Veter, that was it, was hanging out with the CEO of Acronym 2 days ago. Oh, the Pod Save America guy, of course. Oh, my God. Tommy was hanging out with the CEO of Acronym 2 days ago. And then who else happens to be hanging out with the CEO or with who at this same party? The CEO of Acronym is at this party. Pod Save America guy is there. And so is the head of the Iowa Democratic Party, Troy Price, who was earlier today giving us that 62% of the Iowa caucus numbers and no more. So at this exact same party 2 days ago, the head of the Iowa Democratic Party, Troy Price, is in attendance, as well as the national organizing director for Pete Buttigieg. I mean, I understand that I've been bouncing around a lot. I'm having to go to a lot of different sources for this. This all happened yesterday, and it's even unfolding as we speak. But in case you're keeping track, the Iowa Democratic Party head, Troy Price, has a lot of explaining to do about what he was doing at this party and how the head of this app that they just so happened to use, how the owner of the company of this app is also at that party. I mean, I don't understand how this isn't being investigated yesterday. This is absurd. I mean, what questions are we left to draw when you add all of that together? Bernie Sanders, by all polling and projections, is expected to win. Pete Buttigieg has CNN spike a poll. Tara McGowan was one of the ones that was looking into Acronym, I believe. I was trying to think of their name earlier. That's why I was confusing with Tommy. I remember the T. But we have all of these fires going off at the same time, all of these alarm bells going off at the same time, and we're called conspiracy theorists, not for even formulating a conspiracy. I think it's actually pretty clear that it's a conflict of interest. I'm not going to try to put a conspiracy to it, and I'm someone who likes conspiracies just because I find them entertaining, but at the heart of every conspiracy is an unanswered question, is really my opinion on conspiracy theories. I feel that all conspiracy theories are devised as a way to answer questions that should have just been answered out the gate. But no one ever talks about that part. They never go, well, where did the conspiracy theory come from? Well, there were some unanswered questions about X. Okay, well, why didn't we answer those questions then? That would deal with the conspiracy theory. And the questions here is, how did this organization, Acronym, and its PAC, Pacronym, manage to get a hold of this company, Shadow, found it, acquire it. It seems like it did a little bit of both. Staff it with Hillary Clintonites, and then also happened to have crossover with the Pete Buttigieg campaign, receive funding, the company, Shadow, receive funding from the Pete Buttigieg campaign, and then also become the app of choice in Iowa and in Nevada. And how is Iowa's Democratic Party head at the same party as all of these different groups, all these interested individuals? How is Acronym, the Democratic Party head of Iowa, and Pete Buttigieg's national co-chair, I'll get the name again. Point is, how are all these people in the same room? How are they all in the same room? How does that happen naturally? I truly don't have a good explanation besides corruption. And it's not like I want to be conspiratorial, because you're immediately not taken seriously when you do that kind of stuff. But they're also like threatening to take down people on Twitter. Yellow Vest America had his account banned for even making the suggestion that it was a rigged caucus. Using the word rigged on Twitter right now will get you a ban if you don't use it correctly. People are trying to sprinkle it in different areas, like how good morning rigged, you know, how rigged are we feeling today? Like things like that as a way to defang the word a bit. But I really feel like we need some answers from Troy Price about how the head of the Iowa Democratic Party was with the National Order Organizing Director for Buttigieg at the same party, and we're supposed to consider him an unbiased individual when it comes to tallying votes. I mean, the UN needs to step in here, is what a lot of people are saying, to monitor our elections, because clearly we can't be trusted to monitor them ourselves. Now, everybody seems to want for us to move on, or at the very least not to let this deter the movement. Michael Brooks said as much, where he's like, I know this is discouraging, but that's the point, is to discourage us. We can't stop trying. We have to keep pushing. But if they're not going to count our votes, if they're going to use these apps, if they're going to just outright apparently hang out with, in broad daylight, the heads of the Democratic parties in each of these respective states, I mean, I don't know how you counter that. I mean, do we literally need to have Bernie people sit in a room with the heads of the Democratic parties in each respective state and be like, okay, we're going to watch what you do throughout the day just to make sure that you don't change the results of the election? I mean, I really don't know what the appropriate reaction is supposed to be to all this. This is getting back to my point earlier, is that I'm furious, but I can't be mad at Bernie, because if he makes a wrong move now, all of the media will turn against him, and they're already against him. But I'm talking about saying that he is Trump-like. They'll come out and say he's being a Trumpian election meddler type, and they'll just use this as a reason to crack down even harder on us. I mean, it's difficult to know how to make a right move when your opponents control the narrative, because they control all the big cable companies, and all of these reporters are chomping at the bit to praise Pete Buttigieg. They love Pete Buttigieg. It's their candidate. I mean, it's a difficult situation to be in if you're Bernie. I would not tell people to punt and to just put the ball into their corner and to try running as an independent, but I also can't tell people not to be angry, because I'm angry. I mean, the one good news, I suppose, is Joe Biden lost out big last night, but I'm not entirely sure that's a good thing, because it seems to me that Pete is the real Machiavellian candidate here. I mean, he's one of the least popular in the race, coming in at like a third or a fourth, closely tied with Klobuchar in a lot of these polls. And it seems to me that he is the one that made the wheels and the wheeling and dealing to win with, you know, he's going to win the battles without actually winning a war, or he's going to win the war without winning a single battle. You know what I mean? Like this is the kind of person who's determined to cheat his way to victory. So of course, hashtag Mayor Cheat was trending today on Twitter, and rightly so. And the news on the street is that Elizabeth Warren is going to be dropping out. She's canceled some of her flights going out to Nevada. So far, she's canceled over $350,000, it looks like. She's canceling a flight in Nevada and South Carolina between February 17th, February 23rd. So, I mean, it looks as if she is winding down here. I mean, her fundraising is largely dried up. She hasn't inspired the progressive movement. And there's only so many establishment types you can have in one race at one time. They soak up air from each other, and it's impossible for any one person to get it won over on each other, because they're all under the understanding that you're here to do what the donors want, right? Like, so the donors don't want you guys attacking donor talking points. So you all just got to do better jobs at giving out donor talking points, or give out more of them. And in Pete's case, he's just like, yeah, I'll sell out to anybody. I don't care. I will sell out to anybody. I don't need to win. I don't need a single person to like me. We can get polls removed and not shared with the public and we'll just tell people I won. We have the media. We'll just tell people that I won, and they'll have to accept it, or we'll call them conspiracy theorists. That's what we're up against right now. And so it's 8:30, and we still have no answer on who actually won the Iowa caucuses. Pete's numbers seem to back up Bernie's numbers, suggesting Bernie won. No one has found any way to get a hold of, I guess, the head of the DNC in Iowa and ask him about his connections to Pete Buttigieg and Shadow. I mean, I don't know what to do. I don't know how long we're going to be waiting as we get no news back on the corruption that's clearly at play here, or at the very least, the conflict of interest. I just want to know at the end of the day who won. And of course, we get people like Dante Atkins going like, oh, Pete's claiming he won, Bernie's claiming he won, Biden's just asking us to stop. And Warren's like, it's close, wait and see, we'll see you in New Hampshire. I mean, just scum of the earth, man. Scum of the earth. She might be ending her campaign. And meanwhile, the real cynic Machiavellian Pete Buttigieg has clearly outplayed her for the centrist lane. I just don't get it. And we have the State of the Union tonight. So some people are saying that they might release what's going on, who actually won the caucus at the State of the Union. I have my doubts. For all I know, they'll never release it because we'd have to sue them. And it would take months to get the results and we'd never hear back. And I mean, it's just how do you combat a complete lack of transparency? We talk about making the process more transparent and then we deliberately make it even less transparent. We talk about Tom Perez being corrupt, but there is no method by which we can remove him. We tell him to resign. He doesn't listen. Like, this is one of the things I was saying is that I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to hide in limos for the next 6 months? Are we just going to be told in June Buttigieg won and he just stops taking questions at town halls? He stops receiving questions from people? Is that what's going to happen? Because one of the top questions is going to be, why did you declare victory before a single result was brought forward at Iowa? What's the answer? Because at the very least, it's suspicious that you would make such a bold-faced accusation. Did you have information that conflicted with the absence of information? Did you know ahead of time? Was it just you making a declaration to look cool? Like, what was that about? And then how could you know that the polling would support you even as only 60% of the tally had been taken the next day, even as your own numbers seem to indicate that Bernie is the winner? I mean, why on earth would you declare victory? There has been no good answer to Buttigieg's behavior in the face of all this. And Ben Dixon, who I have a lot of respect for, is saying exactly what we're all thinking. There's a 0% chance that I get out of bed on election day to vote for Mayor Pete. I mean, really? Like, we're being told to relax. We're being told to calm down. This has never happened before in the Iowa caucus history. It's literally a caucus. It's not a vote. They all show up in a giant mob and say what their votes are, and that's what happens. That's what happens. But it's public. You have it like cameras rolling at the same time. I mean, this is absurd. It's absurd. And we keep getting told to calm down. Fans of Bernie get banned. Anybody that says the rigged word on Twitter gets banned. I mean, if it seems like I'm redundant, it's because trying to capture the scope of this corruption is stunning to me. I feel like, you know what it is? I feel like I am a crazy person in an insane asylum. But I'm the sane one. I know I'm sane. You can see all this data and go, that's suspicious looking. And then everyone else around you is going, doesn't look like anything to me. It's just the androids from Westworld. It doesn't look like anything to me. So, I mean, what are we supposed to do to this? I mean, we just got to double down. Thankfully, Pete Buttigieg is not polling well in New Hampshire, but he wasn't polling great in Iowa. We were polling great in Iowa. And this does not endow me with confidence that the DCCC is not going to cheat. Besides having Bernie's people literally sit in a room and watch the Democratic votes get tallied, like, manually, like, just to police it, I don't know what else we can do. I really, really don't. Because they will pay for bot accounts and accuse us of being bots. They'll ban us, accuse us of being bots, say that we're trolls, while they have people whose only tweets are, relax, wait till all the facts come out, vote blue no matter who. I mean, just a pure manufacturing astroturf of consent. And to quote Glenn Greenwald, the utter indifference displayed by the DNC, the Iowa Democratic Party, and much of the media about the little matter of the unreported 38% of the vote is amazing. We gave them 62% of the screeching unreasonable ingrates can wait until we get around to the rest. That's from him. And he's right. Like, if they really cared, they would be demanding it. But they aren't. They're not upset. They're not saying anything. So the only conclusion I'm left to draw is that this does not bother them. And why doesn't it bother them? When it clearly bothers Bernie Sanders, when it bothers his surrogates, when it bothers us, why doesn't it bother them? It's because this is not a coincidence. It's not an accident. We're not conspiracists.
Well, I think the economy is rigged. I have thought that for a long time. When you have three people in the country, Aaron, who have the same combined wealth as 160 million Americans, that's a rigged economy. Now, I think the DNC, and I said this publicly, the DNC changed the rules in this situation, but how come the DNC didn't change the rules in order to get Cory Booker or Julian Castro to be up on the stage so that we would have a diversity of presidential candidates? And I think that these are the kinds of decisions that matter.
But do you think that was really based on race, that they rigged that on race? Is that what you're implying?
I'm saying that if rules are changed for a billionaire, then I don't know why they can't be changed to ensure that we have diversity that represents the breadth and depth of the Democratic Party.
Went off of polls, which of course Tom Perez was very open about, right? That he went off of polls. So he didn't look at the color of someone's skin. He looked at how they were doing in the polls. Do you not buy that argument?
Well, I just think, look, Tom Perez is a good friend. I think he's done a great job on many levels. But I think that these are the kinds of things that reinforce distrust of the Democratic Party. We are trying to do everything we can to unify the Democratic Party. But when there are things like this that happen, when there are, you know, big mistakes like using an app in Iowa that apparently was never tested for the kind of turnout that we were expecting, and then you have a mess that doesn't provide us with a winner 6 days before the next primary election. And these states, understand, I come from Washington State, we're not until the middle of March, but these states determine so much about the future of the election. And so I just think we have to be incredibly careful about making sure we are really doing everything possible to show that we appreciate our base, that we appreciate the diversity, and that we are committed to making sure everyone is a part of our democracy.
Now, that could be perceived as a problematic interview. I don't. I see it in the same way that I see Ro Khanna, where he will do things where he'll come out and tell the base to stop doing whatever sexist attacks against Neera Tanders or Alina Maxwell, even as they smear us as Bernie bros or say any number of divisive things like we're the reason Hillary lost in 2016 when we're not. Hillary caused her own loss. I see it in the same way because this kind of person is allowed to go on CNN and our kind of person is not. I mean, you can get mad at Pramila for saying Tom Perez is a friend, but doing something like that when you could easily tell that the anchor is trying to prime her to be able to be like, oh, are you saying it's rigged? Are you saying it's rigged, Pramila? Are you trying to be conspiratorial? Because that's what CNN wants. They do not like us or anybody that backs Bernie for that matter. So Pramila played that, I think, as well as you can. She has to navigate these lanes. I mean, I don't know what else we can expect of the Congress people that have the difficult job of having to get bills passed with cretins and then go on CNN and MSNBC with other cretins and all the while are trying to either end the war in Yemen or get Medicare for All enacted. I mean, it's a tough job having to be conciliatory and nice all the time. You know, I mean, I think AOC and Ilhan Omar are not welcome on a lot of primetime shows, or at least is not as often as, you know, a Ro Khanna might be. And the reason being is because Ro Khanna is more conciliatory to the establishment. He says things like, well, he's a close friend of mine, you know, and I don't really, I don't like hearing that, but I understand it. I understand it. I get why you say things like that. You know, when Rashida Tlaib says something like impeach the motherfucker, they don't shut up about it for days. And we love her for it. I love her for it. But you need those other voices too. Like one person said, this campaign has split personality. From my point of view, it's different pieces on a chessboard. You know, you move the ones where you can. So for me, that's not a problematic interview. Pramila backed us. The problem would have been if she'd gone to Warren or somebody, but she backed us. And we have Ro Khanna, and despite him trying to shame us and say that we're sexist or whatever, he's also one of the guys that converted a Pete supporter last night. I mean, that was a well-documented thing and a part of my optimism before shit hit the fan. Now, a lot of congresswomen are not going to be attending the State of the Union tonight, and God bless them. I'm happy for that. They shouldn't be. But this, the impeachment trial, all of it to me is a smokescreen. You know, it doesn't really matter that much. And, I mean, what happens, you know, what do we expect to have happen tonight? We're going to see Trump talk about immigrants stealing our jobs. We're going to see him talk about the disloyal Democrats. He'll probably bring up Iowa as a catastrophe. I mean, these are things we know him to do. He'll talk about how impeachment is all just a smokescreen for the DNC's failures. He might talk about Bernie and say they're trying to steal it from him. I don't know if that helps us or not. Frankly, being affiliated with Trump is a bad thing. I think that they would point to that and say, oh, Trump says it was rigged and he works with Russia. And while I don't find that narrative particularly compelling, I mean, I don't really want to give CNN that out either. It's just difficult, you know. It's a very difficult position we find ourselves in. You know, Pete Buttigieg was asked earlier today if he was premature to declare his victory last night, and he declined to respond. You know, he's walked back his victory statement, basically saying that, Iowa, you have shocked the nation, and we're going to go on to New Hampshire to be victorious. He's like, well, what I meant was when I said that we were victorious – he meant that he gathered the support in urban, suburban, and rural areas. He didn't mean the entirety of the state. I mean, it's an absurd mockery of democracy. And, I mean, I guess we'll leave it there for now. And if I give words back, I'll complete this segment. You know, we get another 10 minutes. I'll watch the State of the Union address and come back. But for now, still nothing. Still nothing, folks. Well, the State of the Union has been going on for a while, and I don't really like covering things that, in my point of view, just sort of help Trump. I'm glad there's been a protest of it. He's talked about Space Force. He refused to shake Nancy Pelosi's hand. Not a big deal. Yeah, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? He's a piece of shit. Juan Guaido was there in a really eerily Orwellian moment where everyone in the audience turned and gave him applause like they were on some kind of flash mob to applaud the dictator. Well, not dictator, but coup beneficiary, I guess. Coup architect of Venezuela. I mean, it's just... It's weird, man. It's weird seeing all this stuff on TV. I really don't know how to digest seeing all these terrible people applauding each other and giving each other pats on the back with like some of the most heinous and evil looking smiles possible. Tabula Rasa came back as at Indiana Boogness one. So INDIANABOGNIS one. Go ahead and follow her back if you're wondering what happened to her. I've actually lost like 5 followers today. My assumption is they're all getting suspended, although maybe they're just leaving because of the Pete Buttigieg stuff. I don't know. I haven't really said very much. I've posted comments and memes, but that's not unusual, and especially not considering I'm not exactly been hiding about my lack of desire for a Pete Buttigieg presidency. But what are you going to do? We still have no answers. Holding off until the end of the night, I was really, really expecting by now we'd have something, but no. The Iowa caucus, I guess we're just never going to know. We'll just leave it at, you know, 60%, 62% and walk away. I mean, really, that's really all you need to draw any kind of distinction. When you take an exam, a 62% is a passing grade. It's not glorious passing, but, you know, it's passing. A D minus is still passing. I my college record would tell you that. You know, so I guess that's just what we're going to have another contested convention. I can't see any way around it. This is right out the gate. Iowa isn't even that important on the delegate count. But if this is what they're trying now, we're just going to end up going to the convention. And I guess it's going to be like the 70s. You know, I can't think of any other way around it at this point. I mean, they're not willing to bend the knee. They're not even willing to count all the votes. They're only willing to count the ones that get them to where they need to go and then stop counting altogether. So, what are you going to do? I mean, the non-white Iowa caucus vote percentage is 43% went to Sanders, you know, but again, Iowa is majority white. There's not much else you can say. So I guess this will be a shorter than average episode. I'll call it here. Hopefully by the end of the day tomorrow, we'll finally have some news on the Iowa caucus, DNC rigging, Donald Trump, you know, he'll still exist. And later tonight, we'll have Bernie Sanders addressing his lies that he's told. He's talked about cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid last week, even though he's saying he's going to defend them. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, he's lying. You know he's lying. You don't need me to tell you he's lying. He's a liar. So you guys have a good night. We'll hang in there and look forward to New Hampshire, where we will win. Goodbye, y'all.